Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them.
Hello.
Hello, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
How was your day at work?
Hot.
Was it hot there today?
Yeah, working on my farmer's tent.
There you go. I did that last year. It looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, because you get your tan lines from wearing a tank top and a pair of shorts, and then when you go to change into something else, it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I got a message today. It says,
you did?
Yeah. And how to use the F word.
Oh.
Yeah, so number one is...
How do we do that?
Well, number one is dismay, which means, oh, fuck it.
Right.
Number two is aggression. Fuck you. Number three is passive. Fuck me. Number four is a command. Go fuck yourself. Number five is incompetence. He's a fuck up. Number six is laziness. He's a fuck off. Number seven is ignorance. He's a fucking jerk.
Right.
Eight is trouble. I guess I'm fucked now. Nine is confusion. What the fuck?
Hmm.
Ten is despair. Fucked again. Number 11 is philosophical. Who gives a fuck?
Wow.
12 is denial. You aren't fucking me. Or you ain't fucking me. 13 is rebellion. Fuck the world. 14
right.
is annoyance. Don't fuck with me. 15 is encouragement. Keep on fucking. 16 is etiquette. Pass the fucking salt. 17 is fraud. I got fucked by my insurance agent. Difficulty.
Nice.
I can't understand this fucking question. 19 is identification. Who the fuck are you? 20 is ugliness. You're a dumb looking fuck. 21 is agreement. You're fucking right. And 22 is benevolence. Don't do me any fucking favors. So now you know how to use the F word.
Yes, and the good thing about that is we can use it well. But then it comes back to the list of things we can and cannot say. Or the list we can't say. Let me rephrase that.
Go for it. What can you say?
On the list.
Yeah.
There's like about five of them. That goes from weather to everything. It's like, it's crazy that you saw that, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're talking about for the online spying on us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all I can do is just sit there and think, you know what, I just posted up when they had that, you know, virus that was, you know, going around on Facebook, and I'll just letting people know, because it was an actual virus. You know,
yeah.
You can't say that. What can you
no.
say? You can't, hey, it's a great sunny day here. Well, you can't talk about that either. So, okay, what is it that we talk about? Hey.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
Yeah, because what Nora's talking about is hundreds of words to avoid using online if you don't want the government spying on you. What happened was the Department of Homeland Security was forced to release the list by a privacy watchdog watchdog group who filed a request under the Freedom of Information Act. I just posted that in the chat room. The link's there.
Oh, Right.
Well, if you want to get a hold of me, you can look at it on my blog, too.
Right. I mean, I'm sorry. I find it ridiculous that it's come to this point. You know, it in regards to it, it's plain censorship, but it's ridiculous, if you ask me, because there's nothing wrong with saying, oh, hey, it's, you know, oh, if you have a, if you're talking to somebody and they're having computer issues, you know, okay, well, could you maybe possibly have a Trojan? Well, you can't say that either. So what do you say? You have an infected computer? Can you say that? Or can you say, well, you opened up something you shouldn't have opened? You know,
right.
I mean, how much, it's not like, I'm not out there, you know, cursing the world, you know, and I generally keep it, you know, have a great day or time to get off, meaning, you know, getting offline and stuff. But, you know, so I find it ridiculous why they had to come to such extreme to do what they do.
Right.
So yeah. What is it showing?
Yeah, and the bad part is that no matter what you say or how you say it, somebody's listening, always.
Yeah. I mean, we know about not having privacy. We already know about surveillance, what they do. But, like I said, in regards to certain list of words, how ridiculous is that?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
Because, you know, it, at some point it's going to get to where you can just say, hey, or hi. Is have a great day going to come out on a list as well? Is that like some kind of signal for something? I don't know. Or is that what they're basically looking at it as, you know, in regards to what you say? Are they looking at it as it's code?
Yeah, and it's all kind of, I mean, those words, I can't even pull it up. I was trying to pull it up so I could go over some of them. But,
well,
yeah,
if you like, I can if you can't grab them.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I can't, I got too much stuff going on here and I'm trying to keep someone at bay. They already tried to play music.
No, that's fine. I'm on that right now. Just give me a little bit. And but, yeah, like I said, it's common. It's common names. And, you know, the sad thing is, it's stuff that we say every day.
Yeah.
Not necessarily every single word, but there are words that we use every day. You know, I mean, you wake up in the morning. What's the weather like? Well, it's cloudy or it's, you know, whatever the case may be. So, like I said, is it just going to always stick with Facebook, or is it going to get to a point to where you can't even talk about at home or on the phone?
Well, you know,
or
it's like
in
I told you. Any,
conversation. I'm sorry.
Well, it's like I told you, anytime you think your phone's off, it's not off. They can listen to your phone. Your cable box from your house. They listen in your car. They listen everywhere.
In your home. Yeah, I mean, and it's not, I don't say anything that, you know, can be looked at, but, you know, unfortunately, because of the new words, you know, that we can't do or say, or I mean that we can't say in public, then the sad thing is that's going to hit home at some point.
Right. Because I even have to remind you sometimes what you say on the phone to be quiet.
Well, yeah, I'm guilty of that.
Huh?
I admit it. I said I'm guilty of that, and I admit it. Because, you know, like I said, I forget because it's not that I mean to do it, or like a lot of people. They don't mean to do it. The sad thing is you don't realize until when it takes effect.
No, you don't realize until they're coming to put handcuffs on you and take you for a weekend trip.
True.
That's why I tell you, I tell everybody constantly, you call me on my phone, call me to meet me somewhere. Don't call me to tell me what's going on. Call
right.
me to meet me. I'd rather pass that information face-to-face than put it in an email, put it in on my phone, in a text, whatever, because everything gets traced. It all goes through
right.
that fucking list in Utah.
Right. Okay, I'm putting the list in now. There's quite a few of them. I think there's like a total of 5.
Right. It's the same thing with, you know, like Facebook. I mean, how dumb can you fucking be? Yeah, we robbed the 7-Eleven. They're coming to get you.
Well, yeah. Oh, and that reminds me. There was a kid that, I think that's why it more or less initiated certain aspects of looking at, because there was a kid that got on Facebook and said they did something and, you know, they went right to the kid's house or to the school and got the kid. It's like, duh, are you goofy? You know, and then there's a friend of mine, you know, she had a dispute with somebody. She
uh-huh.
didn't see anything in regards to violence, just, well, you know, thank God I didn't see you face to face. You know, they came knocking on the door.
Right.
You know, and it's like, what part of this don't people understand?
Exactly.
Okay, come on, why isn't this working?
She said she posted that link on her wall. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah. I didn't, I don't know why it's not working. I had to go and grab the thing again. But anyways, yeah, like I said, you know, and I've told people time and time again, do not say things on Facebook. And guess what they do? They say it, and then they can't understand, well, why did they do this? Well, duh, hello.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's, people don't listen. You learn the hard way.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, and the worst thing is, yeah, it's not like I've said things on my wall to, well, yeah, because I said there is a virus. But...
I was
looking at in regards to, it was just computer related. Look, if you open this, this is what's going to take place. It's a virus, you know. But other than that, I don't go to any lengths of, you know, saying anything to warrant looking at me. But you never know. It may only take just that kind of post for them to look. And then start a file.
Right. You know, it's like right now they listen to everything and basically whatever you say, it can't be used against you, period. It could be subpoenaed. It won't be in hearsay because it's in your words, it's in your handwriting.
I don't know.
Yeah. So it can't, it won't be hearsay.
No.
So sometimes you just gotta, you gotta roll with the flow and bite your tongue until you shit handled.
Yep. I'm just waiting for a thing to load so I can get a, the rest of them. Oh. I don't know. It's just, you know, don't get me wrong. The USA is a great place to be, but some of the things are just annoying, you know, in regards to the freedom.
Uh-huh.
The freedom that used to be.
Yeah, you lose it all the time. You lose it all the time. All right, hey, I gotta check something out here, and I'll play this. I'll be right back.
Okay, that's fine. It'll give me time to load up the chat.
Okay.
Thank you.
I still got a little problem. I'm going to play this one. I'll be right back.
That's okay.
Well,
but like I said, in regards to highlighting it, to paste it in, it's not letting me in. It's like, oh, Lord.
Yeah, it's not letting you in because those are the words you're not supposed to say.
I'm not saying it. I'm not saying any of them. Oh, God.
Yeah, Bobby, you're right. Our lifestyle is dying a slow death. Yeah. Hello, Fran.
So, hi, Fran. Hi, Bobby. Art's not with us tonight. Maybe he's at work. How's Bill doing? Is he doing okay?
He's with his mom at the heart doctor. She's getting a checkup, but he said to tell everybody hello, and he'll be here, God willing, next week.
Right.
Sometimes you got to play the cards you're dealt.
Exactly.
Hello, friend. Again. But yeah, there's some, like, right now we have a redwood run out here every year, and it might not be around too much longer. You know,
what is that? If you don't mind me asking.
You take a ride up to see the redwood trees and party.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Up there, a dog would go nuts. But, yeah, with all this stuff about the laughing devils and all that crap going on, I found out today, you're not going to believe this, but that new Sinister Mob syndicate,
right?
that new club he wants to start, the domain and everything is owned by Discovery Channel.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm surprised that Discovery Channel grabbed it.
Nope.
I mean, I know that they're showing the
show. There's going to be a season two. And a mutual friend of ours,
mm-hmm.
told, this is what he told me to say. Exactly. I talked to him Monday. Don't say who it is, but you know who I'm talking about.
I know.
And his exact words were, it's for TV ratings and it's scripted.
That's all it is. It's fake. You know, it shows a fake. It's not real. It's a show. The Discovery Channel does have semi-decent ratings, but it needs to boost their ratings. So the way they're boosting their ratings is they see how Sons of Anarchy is, okay? But Sons of Anarchy is a show, a series. It's not real. It's a show. Okay.
Yep.
So these are all that is taking place. It's a series. It's a series. They want to get some more viewers, and they want to get different age group viewers in there because the Discovery Channel doesn't always bring in the younger crowd, okay? Or, you know, they're going by age just to get their ratings.
All right, but why pick on us to get ratings?
Well, I understand that, and I agree with it, but...
Okay, but why would you pick on us to get ratings?
Because they're watching to see how booming Sons of Anarchy is.
And
Sons of Anarchy boomed. It's a nighttime soap opera, you know, and that's what it is. It's a nighttime soap opera series. You know, it comes back every season. There's a new season. There's new people. There's, you know, regular people or remaining, you know, characters and stuff. So that's all it is.
Yeah, here we, you know.
And I understand it shouldn't go to the biker community. But because they see how SOA is doing, they want to get in on it as well.
Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. This is from the other day. And I went and I looked and I found their website, thelaughingdevils.com. And at the bottom of their homepage, this is what I found, a side note. We are considering investors for the site and the club. We are looking to grow. Fact is, now we have the series on TV. We feel it's best to capitalize on it. If you're interested, shoot us an email. We'll look into it on an individual basis. Investors? Fuck, are you shitting me? Really, you got to be kidding me. Are they trying to be an MC or are they a fucking Silicon Valley startup? It's kind of douchey to me. I don't understand this shit.
I don't either. But you know what? The sad thing is they want to capitalize on something that they know that's going to bring viewers. And they capitalized.
Well,
they capitalized on the biker community. It's not fair and it's not right, but they did it. They're doing it.
Okay, let me ask. Let's see. If you can't hear the sound, okay, you can hear it now. I'm sorry, Shirley. Sometimes you just got to refresh. Hello, Art. Art's gone already. Let's see. Everyone love a crook or a bad boy. Yes, you're right there, Shirley. Let's see. Yeah. Because, like, right now, you know, like I said, anybody that saw the episode where they went and repoed the bike in Vegas?
Right.
Okay. Where
yep.
The guy says,
I saw,
you're a
I
long way
it.
From, you're a long way from Rusty's shop. You know who that was?
Yeah.
Who was it?
The one that said they're a long
way
from home?
The one they took the bike from. Who was it?
Oh, that I don't know.
Shirley watches it and she likes it. You know, I like it too when my friends are on. Other than that, I could care two shits about it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The show is cool. I have it where it tapes automatically on the DVR. But, you know, like I said, it's just a show. It's a fantasy.
It was Dave Perowitz.
I don't.
You know, it's like the new president, Billy the Kid.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny when he was introduced to Rusty. I thought he was going to throw up, pass out, or have a shit in his pants. But, you know, a memo to Billy, that's what a real leader looks like. The new VP Scrubber, what the hell his name is saying, that's one big mofo talking about Rusty. Yeah, especially since he's about 6'8".
I thought it was 7 foot.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like last...
But I don't know.
Well, that's like, well, yeah, I'm telling you. If I stood on a curb, I'd still have to look up to him.
Right.
But, you know, it's crazy. It's like...
Well,
you know,
all I can go buy is the pants that, you know... I bought of his, and when I had him, like, holding up next to me, I'm like, holy cow.
Yeah, well, the other day I was someplace, and I ran into one of, Like one of the guys, when he's sitting at the table with all the guys talking about starting his new club, and there's a guy off to the left, long hair and a beard. His name is Ron. He's an actor. They're using actors. They're using extras that look like that fit the biker look.
Well, but see, okay, here we go. There's people that do not ride that have long hair and tats. Okay, but they're profiled. Okay, you can see people that have long hair, gruffy looking, you know, scraggly face, you know, no tats. They're profiled. Everybody gets profiled for something, you know, but people automatically assume that all people in the biker community are long haired, tatted, you know, not clean people. We know better.
Yeah. You know, it's like Shirley writes, she watches the series and she likes it. Hey, you know, I like it when my friends are on it. I talked to one of the guys and he said, I got my 5 minutes or 5 seconds of fame. You know, but like it or not, here's what Shirley, and I agree with what Shirley says, real or not, it's still just a movie or put out there for movie watchers.
Right, and that's what I just said in regards to with Sons of Anarchy. It's a nighttime soap opera, you know, it's a nighttime series. You know, if you were watching, what is it, NCIS or something, it's a series, it's a show. It's not real. They're not going to put real cases in there. They're not going to do that, no. It's make-believe.
Yeah, and she also likes the Pawn Shop and the Pickers. I do. I like the Pawn Shop guys. I think they're funny.
Oh, but yeah. Those guys are great.
I had one, you know, I was looking at, you know, they had a sub page on one of their sub sites for the Laughing Devils. They said, wear motorcycle club colors. I just put it up in the chat room. But it reads like it was composed after a research session that consisted of watching Gangland, Mike. You know, that's what I got out of it.
Right.
It's like there's another guy from the Peckerwoods. They had a fundraiser, and they didn't ask permission to go into one part of town. And one guy got arrested for taking the cuts. And it was three of them and one of him, and they just took them off and handed them to him. So,
wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like I said, it's, you know, all it is it's ratings.
Yeah. You know, it's just like that guy calling out Sutter and all the guys from that show. Stupid. More people tuned in to see if anybody was going to say anything about that the other night than anything else.
Right. Like I said, it's what you do, you know. I mean, the stations just want ratings. Whatever will grab people, that's what they do.
Yeah, I haven't watched that. Hatfield and McCoy's. I want to watch it, but I haven't had time to do so.
Oh, that's really good. You know, like that. Let's go back when Beavis and Butthead first came out. It was a stoner show. And stoners loved it, you know, and I thought it was stupid, you know what I mean? But it was something that brought in ratings, and that,
you mean
that's
you
what...
You mean you weren't a stoner when you were growing up?
No.
Oh, okay. I was.
No.
Oh, the only geez, time I've had...
That's not a secret.
The only time I've had short hair in my life was when I was in the Marine Corps. Other than that, Yeah, right now it's past the middle of my back.
Is it really?
Yep.
Well, I guess we'll find out in June if you flop out around a certain area.
Okay. Okay, give it away. Let everybody know. Yeah, go ahead. You just told all the cops and everybody where I'm going to be.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Paranoia.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. So.
It's like, okay, here. You know. There's another one where they had... they had some other stuff going on and you know, who knew that South Park did a show on the Laughing Devils? I like that. But, yeah, I'm trying to help out this guy that he got arrested for taking the cuts. I'm going to hook him up with a good attorney down here. He's helping out some of my friends down here. And, doing a real good job for those guys.
Yeah, like I said, it's, you know, that is what it is. So I went to go see if there was anything in regards to what for the show tonight, but I didn't see anything there. Because everything else was already covered, so I wasn't sure if you wanted to repeat or just...
Go ahead. I mean, we went off on a tangent about the Laughing Devils, and I think I gave them too much time as it is.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, but what I mean is I already closed out my thing because I figured, okay, well, I haven't seen anything new, so I wasn't sure what you wanted to do.
Well, what I was going to do, I was waiting for Robbie to call in about this one, but I'll read it right now. And basically, I got a link on my website, and this comes from the AMA. In an effort to fight the funding of motorcycle-only checkpoints, this letter came from Sensenbrenner, and he is urging members of the U.S. House of Representatives to sign a letter addressed to the leadership of the House Senate Surface Transportation Reauthorization Conference Committee, to include House Resolution 904 in the conference report.
Okay.
And what it is the funding of motorcycle-only checkpoints.
Now, are they starting to do checkpoints in certain states or certain towns or...
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, is it more so in California, if you don't mind me asking, because there are stricter laws in regards to riding in California than what there are here?
Yeah, but they do it under the guise of a checkpoint, DUI checkpoint.
Right.
Anybody that rides here in Oceanside that rides a motorcycle is going to get hassled. It's a done deal.
Isn't it just unbelievable?
Anybody that's wearing anything on their back, support stick, bike, anything, you're now put in their database.
Wow. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. We're trying to get some shit straightened out with these guys, and it's just that they're on a tangent. And then now with all this, because last year, on a Tuesday night, I was downtown. I was trying to do my show live, and they shut us down. But, they had a couple of Laughing Devils, and they had them up against the wall and taking pictures and shit. And at this point, nobody knew about the show coming. I didn't know. I didn't find out until someone told me.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, it's like right now, there's the producers for that link I was telling you about.
Yeah.
And looked at it again. They haven't even finished the application yet, but they've got that name already.
All because of the TV channel.
Yeah. So, yeah. And like Fran said, they do it when they can get away with it. They do it all the time. I mean, Bill and I... This is how crazy they are. Bill and I got stopped for doing 37 into 35 in our ass chewed.
Well, you know, there are some that are excessively anal. because there's a town, two towns next to me, okay, brothers were in the same department, okay. Their mother, going through that town, did 2 miles over the speed limit. The one would have just let his mom go. It was 2 miles over the speed limit, okay. The other brother was so anal, pulled his own mother over and gave her a ticket. Now, it got tossed out. It got tossed out, okay. But that's what, you know, one may let you go, and the other one is just that anal, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, Shirley, thank you for putting up those videos. I enjoyed that. That's from Sonny's movie on Dead in Five Heartbeats.
Oh yeah. I've looked at those on her wall. It's going to be amazing.
It is.
A lot of hard work and dedication to get that going.
Yes, it was. But to get back to this, that guy Sensenbrenner, basically, what it said would prohibit the Secretary of Transportation from providing grants or any funds to states or local governments to be used for any program to create motorcycle lane checkpoints.
Right.
He placed a June 5th deadline to collect signatures. Therefore, time is of the essence, and American Motorcycle Association is encouraging all members. So, because the deadline is Tuesday, I will put this. I will put this in there, and it has a link that you can click on to get to. Get a hold of those guys.
Right.
In fact, it didn't come up. I got to do it again. But you can get it off this link right here. I'm going to put it in there right now. See, Fran says, they can do it when they can get away with it. No, they do it all the time here, friends. The only thing is we got a little network set up, so if anybody sees their checkpoint going, we put out the alert. And then here's the link for that. It's capwiz.com. You can go on that link and you can click on there and it'll tell you how to get to that. But, yeah, additionally, it's all members and anyone who enjoys two-wheeled freedom are urged to contact the representatives and ask them to sign on to the Sensenbrenner letter addressed to the leadership of the House Senate Surface Transportation Reauthorization Conference Committee to include H.R. 904 in the conference report. And if you want, you can get that off my blog, too. Which, by the way, you know, we got, since I've been writing about the Laughing Devils and I posted some articles and I posted some articles about Illusion motorcycles and stuff like
right.
that. And since the May 8th, when all this shit hit the fan, I've been getting over 100,000 hits a day. Today we
Good
had
for
17.
You.
Yeah, today we had 117,403. It's like right now I have. Hang on, just for the stats for today, we have. In the Devil's Ride, all the media attention, it's the article from May 8th, got 28,988 hits. The Rusty Coons and Rodrigo Rotero, our Hellraisers article, got 13,849.
Wow.
The Devil's Ride, Discoveries Realized Sons of Anarchy, 15,745. And my knife laws in California, is it legal to carry one? 18,747. So I think, just to read all that stuff, I think we're doing pretty good. And then
the other thing,
yeah, you planning on going to Canada anytime soon?
Me?
Yeah, anybody.
Oh, yeah, I just, you know, I'm going to hurry
well,
up.
Well, they
got to
know,
right
because
now.
They have a new helmet law coming Friday.
You're
kidding. No, they have new motorcycle safety regulations coming into effect across British Columbia Friday. The new regulation makes it mandatory for all motorcyclists and their passengers to wear helmets that display the popper industry certification label. Well, I don't know, because the industry doesn't certify the helmets. The maker does. The manufacturer does. Helmets must comply with outlined by U.S. Department of Transportation. They don't certify helmets. Chanel Memorial Foundation of 2005 or 2012. In the United Nations Economic Condition for Europe. Riders violating the new law will be subject to a $138 fine. New seating laws have also been put in place to protect both riders and passengers. Police across the province have been armed with educational materials to distribute to riders to inform them of the new laws. They know the laws aren't about taking away from riding experience. They're simply about saving lives. I don't know. I would rather have a choice.
Well, yeah. Well, that's how it is here, but not everybody's that way.
Yeah, I'd rather have a choice. I don't like to be told what to do.
Well, obvious.
If the sound's messed up on your PC, Shirley, just refresh, because we got a couple of Yahoos from down in San Diego trying to mess with us.
Like I said, I find it ridiculous because it was fought so hard here for, you know, let the writers decide. And it should be. You know, unfortunately, the politics in the last stage takes over and runs amok.
Yeah. Yeah, or surely it could be. I had when Bill's here, or I had Bernie from the county boys here a couple weeks ago when Bill took his wife to the doctor, and he didn't believe me when he pulled up out in front. There was a white van out here. It's out here every Tuesday and Thursday. So them guys, it could be those guys, but my computer says it's the guys in San Diego, the IP address, somewhere in San Diego. And then the other thing I want to talk about is today, the California Assembly passed the statewide medical marijuana dispensary regulations. It's AB 2312, due in large part to Tumor Reform Coalition, concerted effort by citizen lobbyists. But in a 41-28 vote, the California State Assembly passed a bill today that would regulate the production and distribution of medical marijuana for qualified patients.
Right.
Supreme Court and Attorney General, the state legislature, took a significant step toward clarifying the often confusing terrain of medical marijuana distribution in California. So what they came up with is AB 2312, the Medical Marijuana Regulate, Control, and Tax Act, was introduced earlier this year by Tom Amano from San Francisco. And more than 15 years after California passed Proposition 215, patients are still of a common sense approach to the production and distribution of medical marijuana. So basically, they scored a win today. Basically, they had a research done, and 77% of the Californians support AB 2312. They had more than 300 patients and policy advocates storm the Capitol, meeting with each member, and urging them to pass the bill. So now it's going to go to the state Senate, where it must pass out of committee by July 6th and must come to Senate floor for a vote by August 31st. What I'll do is I'll put that link up in the chat room for everybody
to
go look.
Now, are they trying to ban it, or are they trying to control it different for medical marijuana?
Oh, actually, I think what they're going to do is they're going to let them do it, and they're going to tax it. They're going to tax it. Because...
So they're trying to tax it now.
Yeah. Let's see. I got one today. Here. This came out of San Diego today. The judge dismisses the case against marijuana dispensary leaders.
Right.
And against the president of a medical marijuana dispensary following a week-long trial that ended with a hung jury. So basically, he was charged with possession and cultivation of marijuana in January 2011. But he was president of a therapeutic healing corp, which was on a holiday court in La Jolla. The drug was grown at
right.
a San Marcos. So, but the jury was hung at 7-5 in favor. So they dismissed all the charges just to justice because the defense had presented enough evidence that Padilla was complying with the state's medical marijuana law. So basically, that was a good win for those guys.
Right.
A good win for me, too.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, and the district attorney said they had no intention of appealing the decision.
Unbelievable.
Supreme Court declined on May 23rd declined to review the decision. So my comment was, corporate greed and individual bigotry have accelerated us towards a situation where all the usual peaceful and democratic methods which usually be employed to reverse such acute damage no longer function as our founding fathers intended. Such a political impasse, coupled with our great economic turbulence, is precisely that which throughout history has often ignited extreme social upheaval and violent revolution. You know, there's a guy named William Stephen Smith in November 13, 1787. He said, "To function as the founders intended, our republic requires that the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants.
Right.
It is natural manure." And Thomas Jefferson wrote that in a letter to William Stephen Smith. And basically, you know, the peaceful avenue for change was the jury nullification on this. So that worked out.
I just find it amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I like
you're
what
right.
Shirley said.
Yeah.
Cooking is not legal, but they can go to jail or prison for not paying income tax. Same will happen with pot.
Exactly.
So they have to find a way to make money.
Yeah. Money, yeah, see, money needed to pay those voters and do nothing for us but sign bills as they don't know what they are signing. That's true. A lot of them don't read it. They just say, "Hey, here, sign this for me." How many times have you done that? Here, just sign this. Because people trust you, they don't read it.
Right. Oh, no. I've never done that to anyone. Like, example, if I fixed a tractor, okay, painted it and everything, wanted to sell it, I have them read before they sign for the bill of sale, you know, because it's no warranty to it, you know what I mean? And because there's so many people out there that will just sign it, and it's, no, read this first so you understand. If you break it, it's not coming back to me. You bought it as is, just like selling a car, you know. So, yeah, like I said, I can understand that. I haven't done it, but I've seen many do it.
Yeah, because out here they have a lemon law, but it's kind of tricky. There's a lot of shit entailed in it.
Well, yeah, we have the lemon law here too.
Yeah,
but that's why when you sell something, anything mechanical, vehicle, lawnmower, tractor, whatever, have that bill of sale, and it's no warranties expressed. You know, there is no refund. You know, I've seen people do that where they sold a tractor, the people screwed it up, brought it back because they didn't put it in the bill of sale, sold as is. Okay? And it bit them in the butt. They had to sit there, not only take it back, get a new motor, and then try and resell it. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to put something up here. This is about a video, and the ACLU just decided to sue so we get the right to film, protest and film the police.
Right.
But the one they're jamming up on, they're suing the city of Escondido. That's the one that has all the checkpoints down here. They were bragging the other day that they arrested 17 people. And when I was reading the list of the names they published, they were all Mexicans. So what's
wow.
up with the... Yeah, they're getting them for racial profiling. They're getting them for everything. Because basically right now, the law states you're supposed to be able to call somebody as long as you can park your car in a safe place, they won't tow it. But because they're in bed with all the tow companies, they take the car and hold it for 30 days. It costs you about $1,500 to $1,800 to get it back after you pay
right.
for the tow and all that in storage. Plus, they
right.
spend $78 to $90 on hooking up putting a lien on it.
Okay.
Hello, Mark. Yeah, kind of everybody's having that problem tonight. So,
yeah, it's a bad problem. You know, I had a heck of a time even getting in.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I try. I got stuff that keeps those guys at bay, but they still try and jam us up here. And I guess they figure if they screw with the people that are tuning in.
Right.
It just doesn't... It doesn't do them any good because people keep coming back. That's the whole thing. We get supported very well here. And then on the archives, it gets pretty well read or listened to the next few days after.
Right.
But, yeah, this ACLU thing here, I'll read it to you. The ACLU is suing the city of Escondido for three separate incidents where the city police, aided by the California Highway Patrol, had violated the First Amendment rights of protesters. They were engaged in a peaceful protest at the city's border checkpoints. All three occasions included police interference, a protest, or peaceful filming of their activities. David Lloyd, the legal director for the ACLU in San Diego, said this is a clear-cut case about First Amendment rights to protest and monitor the actions of police officers. Vague boilerplate claims about traffic and officer safety do not justify trampling on the First Amendment. This guy Matthew and his friend were protesting in January 11 when approached by officers who cited a law about not selling things within 500 feet of a freeway to compel them to move their protest. They weren't selling, they were filming, but they told them they were selling something and they had to move. When contacted by the ACLU, the department said the officer was concerned about driver safety as he believed passing traffic was being distracted by the protest signs. They did, however, admit that there was no specific policy explaining how this is a concern was to be handled and that police are not permitted to override the First Amendment for safety concerns. This guy was again harassed by officers filming their on-duty operations at a checkpoint 3 months later. They ordered him to stop filming because, as they put it, we have a policy not to have you in our operational area for officer safety reasons. So once the ACLU told them they couldn't do it for selling, they came up with an officer safety reason. He pointed out that he was filming on a public sidewalk on the opposite side of the street from the checkpoint. The time has come to resolve this in court. Escondido officers continue to violate the First Amendment. CAP has admitted that traffic safety standard is vague but refused to provide any guidance on what and under what circumstances it might restrict political speech in a public forum. They have no choice but to ask the court to protect their free speech rights. No, I mean, I believe in freedom, and that does not involve being stopped for no reason and asked to present papers. You know?
I understand. Like I said, I'm at a loss for words.
Yeah.
Oh, God, most of that in the calendar.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure, I like what Shirley wrote. Doesn't it make you all warm and fuzzy to know we're amusing all the men? All the men?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Shirley, sometimes we had that problem with the sound, and then Fran says that if she went through Facebook, it was easier. So sometimes, because I put it up there too, and there's a thing that says you can listen now. If you click on that, it takes you right to it. But sometimes going through Facebook, because of all the traffic on Facebook, it jams up the server and then you lose the sound. So the best way is to go through the regular links that are up. And then I was waiting for Bobby. He said he was going to call in at 7. He wanted to talk about something. And then, hello, Mark, how are you? I know things are kind of rough with that, but thanks for tuning in. Same thing to you, Shirley. I appreciate it. I know you said if you, you had to refresh the sound one more time, you were coming back, but thanks for coming back. So my comment, you know, I hope the ACLU wins this case. I hope that, you know, I'm sure that they probably get a good, you know, a good shot at it. But there's tons. I mean, I look, there's tons of city ordinances and state laws that try to protect corruption and closing all the eye to the public, you know. Scramblers that mesh up signals so the public cannot hear police operations. We pay for them. Some states even came up with laws to make it illegal to own a descrambler. But what are they hiding? You know, I'd like to know what are they. Because the Department of Homeland Security gave Verizon in 2008, they gave them a FISA order to turn over all text scripts and phone records on every fiscal basis. The FBI even has a task force to monitor all your Facebook and tweet history. The raid is going. We'll trick it on to the local police, which, by the way, the local police is that app you were talking about, Nora. They're already breaking the law. They're already breaking the law.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I got a video here if you want to hear the video.
Go ahead. Play the video.
All right. Get it right now. This is the EPD. Can't protest at 500 feet of a freeway exit.
Oh, really? Can you quote the law on that one? Can you quote the law on that one?
Huh?
You know what? What law?
650.5.
22, 650.5. Bullshit, there's no such law.
Are you saying we can't be where exactly?
500 feet from within the highway or the highway off-ramp.
And that is because why?
Preventing, soliciting any sort of service.
This isn't
this. This is considered service. So what I'm just asking is if you guys can just go 500 feet, that's all I'm asking, from the highway off-ramp.
500 feet?
Yeah.
Can you
give or take about the Chili's? That's all I'm asking.
Okay. Yeah. So we can stand in front of Chili's?
Probably past that Chili's building.
What about that way?
You'd be even closer to the freeway.
Okay.
Well, if we go as far as
that, there's the link to that.
So First Amendment doesn't matter anymore?
I'm just letting you know what the vehicle code says. I understand you guys are doing a service, but at the same time, you guys are distracting people. And that's why this vehicle code is made for that.
Okay.
Alrighty, any questions?
I appreciate you. All right, well, we'll go over by Chili's then. I appreciate you. All right, we'll go over by Chili's then. I'll help you guys out. All right, all right, any other questions? Nope. All right, I'm good. I guess. Thank you. You too. See, the guy totally, he quoted him chapter and verse, and it was the wrong chapter and the wrong verse. <laughs> Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Hello, Bobby.
Hello. Hi, Bobby.
What's up, man?
Hey, not too much. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Just holding my own and some of the others.
Anyway,
what's up with you, man?
Sorry?
I said, what's up with you? How you doing?
Just trying to make it through the week here. It's going to be one, you know, as the weather picks up and a lot more events and everything get going, so it's going to start getting busy here as we go into the summer. But I called, I wanted to touch bases on, last time I was on, I talked about some takeaways that I brought back from the NCOM National Convention, particularly in the area of the Legislative Task Force and developing some relationships in Washington, D.C., and establishing a caucus for motorcycles, and then and the announcement by NCOM and U.S. Defenders that they were going to go after a national anti-motorcycle profiling bill. Well, I guess apparently it's already started to progress some, because the first time I've seen the language, I didn't even get it from NCOM directly or U.S. Defenders. I saw it coming from Alpha Biker. So,
yeah, I do. That's basically
so that
where I got
it. That interesting. Yeah.
Well, I think Chuck's got that where he gets news stories, and He's got an automatic feed, so I tried to call him to find out where he got that from, but he hasn't called me back yet.
Okay. That'd be sort of interesting. Because he must be an insider, because I didn't even know.
Yeah. No, Chuck's pretty sharp, but I don't know what happened on that one. As soon as I find out, I'll shoot you an email.
Okay. So is it acceptable to talk about bad on the show? What it's about?
Yeah.
Sure.
Because you're talking to the West Coast representative.
Right. That's what I understand. So what does that mean exactly?
What, that I'm the West Coast representative? It means that whenever I find out about somebody discriminating against us and our lifestyle, I go and I fucking find out why, and I want to know why. I don't take no for an answer. I want to talk to somebody. If you had the balls enough to say something to somebody to turn the cops or some whoever on us to see what we're doing, you need to fucking be a man and stand up and tell me what you said.
So is it a grassroots organization of individuals, freedom fighters similar to Bolt that sort of take direct action, or are they backed by lawyers and other organizations? It's not an MRO, correct?
They're backed by lawyers. They're backed by the New York writers. They're backed by us out here. I got an attorney on standby for anything I need. And there's guys throughout the country. There's a guy in Wisconsin. There's two guys in Wisconsin. There's one guy in Chicago. There's two guys in Indiana. There's one guy in Tennessee. There's four guys in Florida that I know of. And I understand from Hank that some other people have signed up.
Yeah, I tossed my name in there too, because it seems to be a natural fit, but I don't know what it entails, you know?
Well, here, I'll tell you what it is. This is, as a biker, you have the right to not be compelled to betray your family or your core beliefs. This is from Bikers Discrimination. Bikers Against Discrimination. It's to defend civil and social injustice, dispel government propaganda, and educate on biker culture. Strengthens the access to media, promote legislative action, and investigate acts of discrimination because bikers are not second-class citizens. So as a biker, you have the right to not be compelled to betray your family or your core beliefs, not to be defamed, harassed, or discriminated against because of your culture. Be treated by the products of your character or as an individual. Protect your cultural beliefs and defend your honor and integrity. Experience liberty and freedom on par with all American citizens. Because, again, bikers are not second-class citizens. And I had an incident downtown where they told, this one bar owner told a couple of guys who were wearing support shirts they couldn't come in there anymore. And I sat them down with an attorney who told them that if you'd like these guys to own your bar, you might want to take that sign down out of the window.
And this was where, California?
Yes. Yeah, I'm in Oceanside. I'm 38 miles north of San Diego. And the only reason he was putting that sign up is because the cops were putting heat on him because they didn't, quote unquote, they didn't want a certain element in town.
Yeah, I've heard quite a few stories similar to that. But in reality, though, you know, if a private business wants to establish a dress code, yep, then they can. They can impose it, unfortunately. And that is due to some rulings against one club down here in Southern California that took place several years ago that went the wrong way. And even on appeal, it suffered a second setback, and then they made some additional rulings, and that's sort of where we are right now. So that was a similar issue that I've had the last couple of years with that L.A. Calendar Girls show, about them using policies like that to keep motorcycle clubs out.
Right.
Not
that's
much we can do there, but we can.
Yeah, everybody's protesting now.
Well, and that's the thing. I think we're still going to be going down there and making a statement anyway and trying to bring some attention through the media that and trying to bring down some other organizations that we form alliances with. And speaking about alliances, I think the Bikers Against Discrimination and their mission, I mean, it sounds like a natural alliance could be formed between them and say the U.S. Defenders, since we're all sort of seeking the same thing now.
Exactly. And that's been brought up to Hank before, and I don't know if he's acting on it or not yet. But the guy you're looking for, he's on my page. His name is Hank McGrath.
Okay.
If you send him a name, you can get his email or send him a message, and he'll call you. He's pretty good about that.
Yeah, I think I sent one to, I can't remember exactly what it's called, but and asking for a honorary membership, I guess. I sent something off. I sent a profile in. But, I think it might be a good thing because we're trying to form, I think, part of the overall strategy, particularly in lieu of these national type of movements we're trying to achieve here, is just trying to form alliances. We're trying to do that with the ACLU. We're trying to do that with other displaced classes of folks like handicapped and things that we do charities for. So, you know, it's in trying to get our freedom back. It's not just a biker fight. It's, you know,
it's everybody's
citizen fight. It's everybody's fight, right?
Yeah, because what happens to me today could happen to you tomorrow. Just like I say, what happens on the East Coast, we know it's going to happen here. It happened in Australia. They're doing it in Canada. The next step, the United States. Nobody believes me.
I
wrote about that thing about coming out with all the words you can't say on the internet that everybody's looking at. I talked about that 3 weeks ago, and nobody believed me. Oh, you're full of shit. That ain't happening. Well, boom. All the people that said it wasn't happening got an email from me with a list of words.
Right. And that's, you know, very similar to, you know, my call out on the California Office of Transportation and Safety putting out those surveys, although they claim that, you know, they're just using that as additional information to be used to help them determine motorcycle-related crashes and deaths here in California. You know, we all know that it's going to form some foundation in which they'll try to, you know, wangle out a future bill to probably do away with it or regulate it. And so I'm trying to tell everybody we need to start taking a look and be proactive and try to preempt this before it becomes a bill, because it's much harder to fight it then. But it's hard to get that through folks' heads. So I'm totally with
you. They don't listen. They don't, you know. They don't believe it. It's just like this. Everybody likes red, white, and blue till the lights are on behind you.
Well, I mean, if you want to see sort of, you know, do you want to do a look ahead in sort of the future is what's going on in this world and how it will eventually apply to the U.S., you don't have to go any farther but the U.N., right? Behind those closed doors, a lot of those so-called diplomats are trying to figure out ways to standardize things, to take away our guns and our motorcycles in the way they are, at least today, for sets of unified standards throughout the world. And as you've said, other countries like Australia and even Canada are sort of telltale signs of what potentially could happen here. I mean, in the UK, they're trying to outlaw custom bikes altogether.
Yeah.
And, and all the, you want to talk about surveillance, I know you folks were talking about surveillance a little earlier today. They are on the forefront of surveillance technology. Christ, they probably have, you know, downtown London, the lights out there probably have those, are outfitted with cameras that talk to you, tell you when you drop a piece of paper, you got to pick it up. And, you know, they'll even go so far as telling your neighbor to inform on you when you do something wrong. So it's that Orwellian type of future that is coming upon us.
Yeah.
But how far is it going to go? Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, how far does it have to go?
And until we become fed up with it and do something about it.
That's only if we can.
Well,
yeah.
You'd be surprised,
you know,
if we can do it. It's just a matter of everybody, you know, getting pushed over the edge to do it.
Right.
Yeah. If you go to, also, anybody that's listening, if you want to get some info on BED, if you go to free1percenter.com, there's a membership section, and you can feel free to read the news and updates at that site. It's updated regularly by Frank and an attorney back there. But it's free1percenter.com.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because and the reason why I talk about that, because I've visited the websites before, and I've tried to understand what it did and what it was doing, either legislative-wise or movement-wise, and maybe I haven't been following as closely as I should, but it really didn't jump out at me until I got this notice and then went back and took a good look, so... It seems like this group, I don't know how many, probably not good to talk about members and everything else, but they seem like a good match to form a partnership with U.S. Defenders and work on these national profiling bills and all these anti-federal laws that, smother our lifestyle and work together on those.
Did you see... Well, you heard Bernie on the show a couple weeks ago, didn't you?
It really depends. I haven't made all the shows.
Okay. Well, he had an encounter with Anaheim PD coming out of the COC. They stopped everybody. They tried to tell Bernie that they had a picture of a fireman who's a documented member of one of the heavy hitter clubs. They told him that they run the colors. It's called the County Boys. They have a Maltese and a hook and ladder on the back as their patch. It's a three-piece patch, and it says L.A. County Fireman. He was the same guy with me that was with me when Homeland Security gave me a ticket in Arizona. But they jammed up everybody coming out of the COC. When they talked to Lester, Lester didn't want to get involved in it. So I hooked him up with an attorney who... He sent some stuff to Bernie. Bernie showed it to the guys at the U.S. Defenders. The U.S. Defenders International wants to talk to my attorney because of the stuff that he wrote, and they want to use him.
Nice.
To get this going, as well as because the motorcycle profiling and the fact that they picked on firemen, dude.
Well, I'm a little concerned what you said here about Lester not doing anything. This is not the first time that his firm has been approached around discrimination and nobody took any action. Yet, you know,
yep.
He's the founder of NCOM. You know, so... excuse me. Oh, and by the way, it was Lester's organization that lost the case in California for the top hatters that
right.
got the ruling. So there is a history here, but
and the thing is we had an attorney. He has it's a pocket app. It goes on your phone and it's to talk to an attorney. And basically what you can do is if you're stopped and the cops are hassling and stuff, you can hit this app. And you'll get an attorney that'll represent you right there on the phone.
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
Okay. But what happened, send me an email. I'll send you the link. But what happened was, because I still got to contact the guy to see if he went by the wayside, because this is what happened to him. When Bernie took him to the CLC to introduce him, Lester, they said, his kid said no. Lester's kid said no. He's not doing it. So when Bernie took him down to the San Diego COC, Lester's kid said, hey, I told you up there and I'm telling you here. No. And nobody can understand why.
Well, you know, it's not personal injury. They don't make any money.
No, and that's what I told Bernie. I said, because of the simple fact that He's all in it for personal injuries. He's not in it to represent. Just like, you know, I heard about that thing and them losing, and I heard it was, the way he wrote it was half-assed. I don't know, because I
never
got to
read it. Yeah, well, they've taken on some cases. They've done some good, some, you know, sort of not so good. But, you know, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have had the structure that's currently there today. But
right.
To your point, yeah, and that his name is Joey. That's his son's name. Richard's son's name is Joey, so Joey Lester. And he does. He's usually the one that comes up to Northern California to sit in. I quite frankly, I'm a little surprised, at least giving an explanation, because if it's that important to a COC, and they have the funds, they could determine how those funds are spent. And then if it requires legal representation, I mean, at least write a letter, for crying out loud, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how much money does it take to write a letter?
Exactly. I'm gonna tell you something right now. I was at a meeting last Saturday, and then I was at another meeting on Monday with one of the heavy hitter clubs. I was at a barbecue. And it was mentioned to them that another club was pulling out because all Lester does is support this club and not that club. And it was the he said, she said bullshit. And my comment to everybody was, and I got a funny look because I said exactly what you said. Lester's only in it for the people that have accidents. He's only in it to make money. He's not in it to do anything with rights. A few things here and there, but not heavy. And everybody just looked at me, and then they thought about it for a minute, and they agreed with me. They said, yeah, you're right. The way it looks, that's the way he's going to do it.
Hmm. Well, it's a dynamic that plays differently here in California and states that have multiple dominant clubs. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, because like you said, Joey and that firm will work with whoever. But the thing is with the U.S. defenders, it's not about colors. It's not about a particular club. It's not about territory or really what type of bike you ride or what gender you are or whatever. It's about people who care about their rights and are willing to step up and do something about it. And if you strip away all of the, you know, the egos and the, you know, the hardcore, you know, macho feelings between clubs, we can get some stuff done together. It's just unfortunate that when, as you go down, particularly down south, you know, you have a mix of a lot of clubs down there, and it's hard to get everybody on the same page and working together. And
you know, and there was a message, put out by a very well-known person. I'm not going to say who it was. But this is what he told me about 3 weeks ago. Put all that bullshit aside, because we're not going to get along. If you see these guys or they see you, go up and shake their hand. How you doing? Because that's the only way it's going to fucking stop. The only way. It's going to hurt at first when you're doing that first one. I'm telling you, it's going to hurt. I was like, do I need to go wash my hand after I did it? That's how fucking pissed I was to do it.
Think about it. Just, you know, I guess you have to. And that's tough, too, particularly if there's been trouble between clubs and people that you know got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, that you have so many funerals last year and this year, and be sort of nice to go for a full quarter without without going to a funeral, but that's sort of the way it is. But it takes you know, special breed of people to, like, you know, be diplomatic enough to have to put aside those feelings and just say, for the betterment of, you know, all of our clubs and our lifestyle, we need to sort of suck it up and form you know, something. Truces. I don't know what it is, because you know, the real enemy out there is
biggest
you know, wearing,
Blue Gang.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah. The thin
blue
line.
Like you were touching on people. Bill and I get that all the time. Man, I can't go to that. I ride a Honda. Or I can't go to that because I ride a Suzuki. Or I can't go to that because I ride a Kawasaki. And Bill, this is what Bill and I tell him. I don't give a shit what you ride as long as you ride. If you want to go, show up. End of story. Because nowadays, nobody looks at what you're riding. They're just glad you showed up.
So, yeah, I mean, we do need a lot of people to come out and support, particularly those type of events and boycotts and stuff that require, or rallies, even particularly up at the Capitol, that require a lot of people because, you know, even this January when we were up there to listen in the Transportation Committee for the motorcycle checkpoint funding and the helmet bill, it just seemed like the numbers keep dwindling year after year, whereas many, you know, a decade ago, you could expect thousands of riders up there. I mean, lucky if we get hundreds up there. So apathy is really a thing that we're fighting against. As the new clubs come out, the younger guys come out, we try to get them quickly to let them know, hey, you know, welcome to the motorcycle community. But if you haven't been pulled over by cops, guess what? You soon will be. And this is what your life is going to be like. So, you know, you got a long road ahead of you. You're like 20, 30 years younger than me. You might want to think about getting involved in this stuff if you, you know, want to continue to do this the next decade or so.
Yeah, because basically it's, well, I'm not going to do it. The other guy will do it. You know, it's like 10 people get a ticket, 9 of them are going to pay it. And one's going to fight it. It should be the other way around. Think it like this, Bobby. I'll give you an example. If we had 100,000 people in California take off their helmets and ride without a helmet for one day, we'd shut down the court system.
Exactly. That's a brilliant idea, too, because Europeans did. I think they did it in France where they had a...
40,000 people showed up.
Where?
France.
Oh no, that was like that was more like 200K, dude.
Well, no, the city I saw said 40,000.
Oh. Okay.
But it went all through France. But I've seen one city said 40,000.
Still, that number alone, to your point, they just couldn't be able to. They couldn't handle it.
No, we'd shut them down.
Exactly. But everybody's got to be on the same page. Why, you know, if everybody's willing to, you know, to put themselves at risk, I'm hoping we can get a lot more support and not just leave it up to those that are brave enough to do it, you know.
I mean, I had a couple of guys the other day that the city took their knives, the cops took their knives, and they went to court and there was no charges filed, so the DA told them, don't worry about it. The day they got home from in the mail, the cop filed. So I hooked them up with my attorney. He's going to go represent them and get their shit back because they were given to him by the Marine Corps. They were given to him in Afghanistan. And my understanding is the guy hasn't turned them in yet. So how could you file the paper to send these guys to court and you ain't turned nothing in yet?
Well, and that's just a whole nother conversation right there, the way our beloved veterans are being treated, right? Coming back and being treated like they're unstable.
Nothing.
And terrorists simply because they're well trained, right? They did their job at risk of themselves and their psyche and come home and, you know, they have a lot of problems and some end up homeless, some end up killing themselves. It's just a tragedy. And and then to have government agencies say, well, these guys are freaking terrorists too, or they're gangs. It's like, that's just the biggest slap in the face. I just can't tell you how bad that makes me feel. I'm so ashamed.
Exactly.
Of that.
I mean, I'm a Marine veteran myself.
Well,
so
look at it this way. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Nora.
No,
was going to say, like, I don't know if you saw it, Bobby, on the news, you know, when they showed about the NATO meeting when it was held here. The veterans threw their medals back. That's how disgusted they are.
Yep.
Well, now, I don't have the full story, But I had heard that this past week during Memorial Day, you know, the president was there, and while he was there, because of that law that got snuck in a couple of months before about you know, protecting
right.
Protecting,
felony. Right.
Yeah, so now, you know, anybody who tries, they blocked off, you know, access to the Vietnam War Memorial. And all these folks that, you know, have traditionally gone up there every single year.
To see their son, their husband, brother, whatever, right.
Yeah, they couldn't get to it.
Why?
For some period of time. Well, because he had it blocked off. Now, because of this law, you know, you have Secret Service keeping everybody away from those that have Secret Service protection.
Right.
Right.
You know, so that, you know, to your point was like, you know, the First Amendment getting stomped on. Well, you know, you don't have free access. You can't come within certain feet, and it's all up to them. I mean, it's a, they can make their rules up on that and on how they make a determination. So, but
exactly.
I guess what kills me is the fact that because he was there for his photo op, right, make himself look good and trying to portray himself as, you know, supporter for veterans, he ended up blocking veterans from getting there. So that was sort of the story. I don't have all the details, but when I heard that, it just continues to blow me away.
Yeah, the more this guy does, you know, it's just like they said, okay, boss, how are you? You know, if he's having a shitty day, they're going to keep everybody away. If he's having a good day, they invite everybody in. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what they said they'd do. If he's having a good day, they'll let him come to him. Not, they got to keep him at a distance.
Oh, I just remembered something before I forget. When we talked about lifestyle, there are several counties up here in Northern California that purely out of for money and control, mostly control, obviously, are now starting to impose for motorcycle runs. For poker
right.
runs, which we can't even call poker runs anymore. They're trying to require permits.
Right.
So based on some, yeah, they're, okay, I'll just give you an example. So there's a 1% club down in, up here in Northern California near Santa Cruz, and they have a very successful series of runs twice a year. A lot come out for those, and they had one earlier this year. It was the first days of summer. And typically, you know, everyone sort of runs in a single pack. You know how those things go. And then at the 11th hour, they were informed by City and County of Santa Cruz that they needed to pay, you know, that they wanted to have a pack run. They had to come up with $460 for a permit.
Right.
And so I think it was too late at the time. So what they ended up doing was organizing and then making people go out in groups of 10.
Right.
But, you know, that's just intolerable. Yeah, we can come up with the money, but, I mean, what are we getting for that? Aside paying police off, we're certainly not getting escorts because they'll still be pulling us over, right? And what constitutes a pack run anyway? I mean, is it more than 10? Is it more than 20? And if you're
not
on us, what about those car clubs?
I asked that question, and nobody could give me a definition of a pack.
Right, exactly.
Four guys could be a pack.
And then again, it's almost like the motorcycle-only checkpoint. So wait a second. You're imposing a permit requirement on us as we ride together? I mean, if it turns out you come up with, you know, a definition that says, oh, if you're more than five people, you have to freaking have a permit, that's bullshit. I mean, just your riding buddies and yourself can't go without that having a permit. And what about the motorcycle, I'm sorry, the car clubs? I don't see you imposing a fine on them when they're riding.
Oh, they have those. Right.
Yeah. I mean, they're all types of car clubs, you know, classic cars, BMWs, I mean, you name it. I see them riding up and down the coast, you know, all the time now that the weather is better. And, you know, I don't see them chasing after them as well for permits. So, again, it's just, you know, more coming down on us, more than anything else.
Down to these two words, Bobby. These two words. Remember these two words I'm going to tell you. Selective enforcement.
Yeah, right. And that's why I think, you know, we have grounds for this profiling bill. And I'm really glad to see that, you know, folks finally coming together and making, you know, determined to get something going for 2013. So that's like the big stake in the ground I've been waiting for. I've been trying to do this sort of myself on my own as an individual for the last year, but very, very difficult to get support. But with more of a national group of committed freedom fighters, like those involved in U.S. Defenders, and now those that are also members of Bikers Against Discrimination, and hopefully others, we can finally forge ahead on this. And, you know, you have to fight fire with fire, so you got to bring in the civil rights legal expertise. You got to, you know, take it to them in the courts each and every time. You know, it's not going to happen overnight, but it will happen.
I'm offering you anything you want to do. Just send it to me, man, and I'll post
okay.
it for you. Because we're getting, like I said earlier, I don't know. I got to give a kudo to the Red Devil, to Ride Devil's Ride, because since the 8th of May, we've been over 100,000 hits a day. Today it was 117,403.
The Red Devils?
The Ride Devil's Ride. The Laughing Devils.
Oh,
the Laughing Devils, the TV show?
Them.
Yeah, them.
I shouldn't laugh because I know some of those guys personally. So.
I do, too. I do, too. I mean, a week ago Saturday, I was with Gypsy at a military appreciation day.
Nice.
And he wasn't too happy. And basically, they were told by one individual to keep a low profile. That's why nobody's seen him in the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, I mean, you got to know something that's gonna happen. Not everybody's gonna be open about what it is you're doing there. So, but I'm probably not gonna.
You know, and then the other word, that other guy, the Peckerwood that took their cuts. I talked to Rebel, and we're going to hook him up with an attorney.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, and another thing, you know, the Sinister Syndicate mob, I don't know if you heard me earlier, but you know who owns the domain name now?
Who?
And they haven't finished filling out the application yet. Discovery Channel.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yep, and it's from a very reliable source. That would probably be a phone call to me, and I'll tell you who it is. But he also said there's probably going to be a season 2 as of right now. And they're only into, what, the third show?
Yeah, well, I was hoping that was not going to be the case. But heck, I can't even get bikers not to watch it. You know,
that's the thing. You know, I mean, there was guys all over the country saying, "Well, who's that guy? Why the fuck is he talking about club business?" And then I had people send me a bunch of emails, and all I did was tell them, "Google this name," and then I got letters of apology, and I said, "No, you need to send them to this address." Because you put that shit out on the network, on the internet, and believe me, the man heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the guy they took the bike from. Did you know who that was in Vegas?
I think you mentioned him on the show here. I was doing something else. Who was it?
It was Dave Perowitz.
Oh. And he is?
He's a bike builder on the East Coast.
Okay. Interesting. Plus, I think you mentioned that one of the folks seen in one of the scenes, there was an actor.
Yeah.
They used
the guy where he's
as filler.
Where he's sitting at the table with the four guys, and
mm-hmm.
the one guy all the way to the left with the beard and long hair, he's an actor.
Right.
I was with him Monday.
Amazing.
They're using actors to fill the role as bikers who have the look is what they're
mm-hmm.
using for. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so me, Bill, and about six other people volunteered to be fucking extras. Not. I told Bill I want nothing to do with that show. Nothing. We were at Biggs Harley Davidson in March, and they were there filming. And I don't know if you know who Pastor Z is. He has a big ministry down here, and he's pretty well known in a lot of
Bikers for Christ.
Huh? Yeah, Bikers for Christ.
Okay.
And,
yeah, I do know. All right.
Okay, and he came and approached me and Bill because Bill was emceeing on. If there's a mic, Bill's on the stage. Let me tell you, that's why we gave him that doctorate in smoothology. But he was up on the stage and I was off to his right, and they came and asked us if we wanted to be in it, and we both said no because I knew where it was going. I was watching these guys film for like 2 days, and I knew what was going on. And the clubhouse they had down in San Diego was right by where I work at the base. And then that clubhouse that you see on TV is gone. They only rented it for 2 months.
The one that they had worked so hard on, supposedly?
Yep.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep.
Well, gee, what will they use for season two then? Probably
That's why I think season two is going to be the Sinister Mob Syndicate. My opinion. And then I was going to ask you, can you tell me a little bit more about that National Motorcycle Profiling Act that was drafted? Because I know it came out of Indiana.
Tell you more about it?
Yeah, can you tell me a little more about it, or how is it?
No, well, I mean, obviously it's public domain now. That's why it was so sort of surprising, because the actual language, I was originally thinking that we were going to begin with the language that was used in Washington State as sort of the foundation, and then...
That's exactly what I thought.
And then because, you know, I think the way they approached it, right, was they are trying to use the suspect class type of a situation, I mean, to define motorcyclists, you know, their memberships, their incorporated insignia or designated insignia and everything else, and try to have them shown as a suspect class, and then alter whatever Civil Rights Act or law provisions to incorporate so that we're treated the same way. So in the same way that... prevents a private business from turning away people of color, or, you know, people that wear religious attire, or, you know, based on sexual preferences, it would be very similar with motorcyclists. And,
right.
And then take it a step further by insisting that law enforcement agencies, in the way that they train their officers, in the way they document their approaches to motorcyclists, are not such that they use any type of profiling tactics or, you know, any type of form of discrimination. Basically, you know, they're saying that's just not tolerated. You know what I mean? So, but that's where I thought it was heading originally. So then I get this announcement, this letter here, and it's organized very succinctly. It is a bill to eliminate motorcycle profiling by law enforcement, be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States if Congress is assembled. So this is a national bill, which might be distinctly different from the way we might put together our own California, because it's my understanding, in addition to the national bill, all the states should be pursuing their own as well, right? So California, we really need to get one. I think I mentioned several weeks ago, if not more than a month ago, a new MRO that was formed out of Napa Solano was looking to take one forward. They've got Senator Huff, I think that's, you know, down in the L.A. area, to potentially support it. And I've seen some preliminary language on it, but I'm not really sure where that is sitting. Yet this seems to be moving and progressing very quickly, which I'm glad to see. So what I'm looking for is, you know, the teams, the NCOM Legislative Task Force, to start creating work teams, okay, and then probably rotating the Washington team with Marty Fox and Double D and all those guys to three or four states that might put their own together and drive, you know, multi-state profiling movements along with the national bill together. I think we can get a lot done. It's certainly that type of energy is needed in this type of a push. And if we're targeting for 2013, I'm telling you, we're already like halfway through the year. We need to get it going for the rest of the year. It may not see light of day by end of February of 2013 and on the agenda.
Right.
So, but
yeah, like I said, anything you want to do with that, send me whatever you want to put out there, and I'll gladly post it for you. And Bill
yeah,
and I talk about all the
yeah,
time.
I try to, you know what I'd like to see though. I mean, part of the thing that in order to build our body of evidence, whether it is to support, I mean, the big call out, and I think everybody finally realizes, oh, I've only been saying this for the last couple of years. It's sort of like you know, try to herd cats, right? Is that everybody needs
yeah.
to document their pullovers. Everybody needs to try to take video. Every time you're involved with a police encounter that turns out to be harassment or violation of civil liberties, you got to turn in you have to file a complaint. And, of course, like your friends there, the veterans who got their knives taken away or you suffer some type of hardship, you have to also file a tort. And you guys got to keep doing that. And we need to collect all of that and consolidate them, all that information to a single place so that we can start, you know, creating statistics and forming a body of evidence that we can use in presentation at the legislature when we finally get there. Not only that, the side benefits of collecting all this information, and what I mean by information are all the submitted traffic stop forms, copies of all of the complaint forms, turned into, you know, local, county, and state agencies. And in particular, any of the civil lawsuit case numbers and even criminal case numbers that were associated with cases involving RICO charges, enhanced gang charges. I mean, we really want to paint the picture that, you know, there's a lot of energy spent by the government coming down on a, you know, suspect class of people unnecessarily, you know, just by, you know, trying to make ourselves distinct where we're getting horrendously harassed. And so we need all of that. And I think now it's time to get all of our collective organizations together, because the other problem we have here in California is that there's too many. You know, we've got everybody sort of doing their own things, and it's because we're not all working together, i.e. the, and I know this is a sore subject, the Abates, the MMAs, you know, the Bolts, it just doesn't seem like we, you know, can gather up enough resources and energy to be able to put forth something big like that until we can get it together. It's almost like trying to get all the clubs to work together. So, but I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. And I think that if we can at least partner with BAD, because we're all looking like we're all going down the same path, and put, you know, connect our lawyers and everything together and try to create outlets for education and avenues for people to submit all these reports so we can get them all consolidated and managed. Again, the side benefits will be not only will this help us for legislation, it will also help those that have been harassed, you know, and get their charges dropped and then pursue some type of civil litigation against the police agency that did that to them. So that's sort of where I'm going with this.
Yeah. No, and I hear you. And the bad part is like we said, man, you know, people, you'll get 10 people that'll fucking bitch and scream, and 9 of them will just send a check, and the one will go. And what most people don't realize is when you go and you plead, sometimes the guy doesn't show up. So, you know, spend a day. Like I tell people, hey, the same thing I told these guys with the knives, ask them for a receipt. The guy said, "What do you want? You want to pull that bullshit? I'll arrest you for a felony." So, being that they didn't want to deal with it, they just gave him the knife. But there's a documented case now, so that's like having a receipt.
So it was written up in the report.
That's correct, because it went to the district attorney. And like I said, when they got home, the attorney told them, "Hey, there's nothing filed yet, so don't worry about it." They did what I told them. They got the name and everything and what the guy said, and he signed it. Then when they got home from court that day, the letter was waiting for him that the guy was filing it.
Yep, another powerful tool is, you know, the citizens' requests or using the Freedom of Information Act to force agencies to disclose reports and materials. You know, that's an important tool for everybody who needs to understand that's available to them. Well, I'm sure their attorneys will tell them. As a matter of fact, that's what you pay them for, so they'll be...
Yeah, I mean, the guy, like these two guys, I hooked them up with my guy, and I talked to my guy yesterday, and he said what he's going to do about filing everything, and then he's also going to file the thing to get their knives back. Because even though the guy, I understand, he hasn't turned them in yet. So where are they at? How can you have a case if you didn't turn nothing in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, exactly. These guys down here in my town have their own problems. I mean, one guy stole another guy's. They work together. They're partners. The guy stole his fucking shirt, his Walkman, and his, what do you call that, tablet? And then had the balls to wear the fucking 2 days later.
What, an iPad?
And then they
are iPads or tablets. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had the balls to wear the shirt to fucking wear it 2 days later.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff not craziness.
Craziness.
Yeah. And then they also got complaints that the younger guys are pulling over chicks to get their phone numbers and shit.
Oh, they've been doing that for years. There's a town not far from me where you can always see the squad cars pulled up in this little sleaze bag hotel.
Wait. Say this again. Are we saying that the younger law enforcement folks are pussy hunting on the job? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Yep.
They do.
Yep. I have a picture of them stopping and backing up. I couldn't get the video to work, but I had a picture of them stopping and backing up. And two chicks, one walks over to the passenger, and the other one walks over to the driver, and they block the street with the blinking lights on for 10 minutes to talk to these two girls. And when I called the sergeant and told him, I gave him the car number and the names of the guys. They got their ass chewed, and that was it.
Yeah, but like I said, here, there's a town next to me where you see the squad cars pulling into this skanky little hotel.
Oh, really?
They've been doing it for years. Oh, yeah.
Hey, well, there was a YouTube video I saw, I think, a couple of months ago of some cop who thought he wasn't being filmed because he was in some parking lot somewhere banging some chick on his cruiser. I mean,
he got fired.
Did he?
Yeah, he got fired for that.
Well, I mean, that was sort of pretty straightforward evidence right there, right? That's why video is so crucial.
How are you going to fight it? But the union said, oh, well, let's talk about this. What the fuck are you going to talk about?
Yeah, exactly. What are you going to talk about?
You know, it's just like, okay, not to beat those guys to death, but it's just like the ride devil's ride. They're down at the gas lamp in San Diego. The guy punches the photographer, knocks him down. The chick jumps over the fence and hits the guy in the head with a beer bottle. If that was me or you, Bobby, they'd confiscate the fucking videotape, and we'd be making a deal in the back room for 3 to 5.
Yeah, no joke, right?
Yep.
Plus, well, you know, most clubs wouldn't allow that type of shit to be filmed anyway, but...
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, exactly. Oh, sure. selective.
Always has been.
Mhm. But we're getting down to the last little bit here, and what I'm going to do here is I got something from this is Rusty's band. It's called Atticus 7, and it's called The Devil's Daughter, which you'll be on. You'll see Rusty and his band playing at that.
Is that Rusty?
That's Rusty, man.
No shit. He's... I just saw him with a bunch of guitars, and I'm thinking to myself, hey, isn't that fucking bike builder down in San Diego? I didn't know he had
No, he's in Westminster, but that's him and T-Rod are in the show.
Okay. Wow.
He's, they're featuring his music from his album, which comes out on July 31st. But, I happened to see him Monday and was given the, I kind of teased Nora about it, but I was given a master copy of the album. And,
rub it in. He's such a brat.
No, I'm not a brat.
Yes, you are.
Nah.
Yep.
Well, you can,
okay.
You can get one too.
You're
just going to have to put out. Sorry.
Oh, no, because I actually, it's kind of funny because there's one shirt that Phil and I have that are the same. The only difference is mine is signed and his isn't.
Here we go.
I didn't.
You got yours
for.
That way and mine was given to me.
Well, mine were given to me, too. I get them from everywhere.
I know you do.
So when are you coming out here, Nora?
Oh, I don't know. I travel everywhere. On Skype. Go on Skype.
Oh. All right, Phil. How are you closing it out today?
Yeah. I'm going to take it out. It's loading up right now. This one's called The Devil's Daughter. This is by Atticus 7. And this is Rusty and the guys. And just to clue everybody in, they will be on episode 5 playing. The band will be playing. And, Bobby, I got your phone number, so I'll probably hit you up over the weekend. I think we need to talk and strategize a little bit.
Okay. If you can, better Sunday than Saturday.
Okay, and I got art's not
you know,
that far from me.
I would love to do that. I would really, really love to do that. So, yes, please do.
I will, man. I will.
Cool.
And this,
okay.
All right, and this is Attica 7. This is The Devil's Daughter.
You guys have a great night.